Good morning, this is Tim Wright from St John's Church in Birkdale, and this is the talk for the 12th of February, and we are in our series Recognising Jesus, and this morning I am talking about the centurion, which is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 1 to 10. So, hello and welcome to today's talk. It's great that you can join us here listening to the talk that we delivered in church on Sunday. This series so far, we've looked at Simeon and Anna, Nicodemus, Peter. Last week we looked at the Samaritan woman. All different stories in their own right. But the one thing they all have in common is that they were searching for and recognised Jesus for who he was. Today we're going to look at the centurion, the Roman soldier. And the story of the centurion is in the 7th chapter of Luke's Gospel. But before we dive in, let's just take a moment just to remind ourselves where we are in the Bible and the context of this particular book. So Luke obviously is one of the Gospels, and earlier in the book of Luke, miracles that Jesus performed are recorded. There was the healing of the man with leprosy, the healing of the paralytic. And also earlier in Luke, Jesus is teaching his disciples, teaching them the way to be. He teaches them about loving their enemies, not judging others, and of course the wise and foolish builders. And then Luke records the story of the centurion in chapter 7, verses 1 to 10, which I'll read now. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to ask him to come and heal his servant. Excuse me. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to Jesus, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Well, when I was preparing this talk, I was thinking about how to position it. I thought about saying that this morning we're going to talk about hurting people. I mean, hurting people. Now, that could easily be misunderstood, particularly for those people who just read the version where you can't actually hear my intimation. But this is what we're finding at the beginning of this passage. People who are hurting. The centurion is hurting, and he's hurting because the servant is hurting. Now, doesn't that fact immediately feel familiar to us today? We see suffering all around us every single time at the moment when we hear the news. The war in Ukraine, the earthquakes in Syria and Turkey, the missing mum in Lancashire. And each one of us will likely have to endure some kind of suffering in our lives. As an Everton fan, you might have to suffer all of your life. But you know, suffering can come in many different ways. Physical suffering, emotional, mental, financial, relational, spiritual. At some time or other, we will all face hard times. Maybe you're facing hard times right now. Well, today we are looking at someone who was hurting, someone who was in such desperation that they felt there was no hope. So let's take a look at who the central character is in this story, the centurion. The centurion, a Roman soldier in charge of around 100 men, a high-ranking official, and a position of responsibility in Israel where the Romans had taken charge and where tensions between the Roman aggressive movement and the Roman soldiers and the Jewish people was a way of life. There was always tension between the Romans and the Jews. And this centurion had a servant who was highly valued. Let's just take a second to think of that, because that in itself is an odd situation. It would have been very unusual for a centurion to value one of his servants in such a way. And maybe this tells us something very early in the passage about the character of this centurion. The servant was very ill. In Matthew's gospel, we read that the servant was paralysed. And in both Matthew and Luke, we know that he was near to death. So it's reasonable to assume that despite everything else they might have tried in terms of medical help, there was no natural way to help the servant at this late stage of illness. We then pick up in verse 3 and see that the centurion had heard about Jesus. He'd heard about the miracles he's performed, and he had heard about the teaching that Jesus had been giving. So from a place of desperation and no humanly possible way of helping the servant, suddenly, perhaps there was some hope. Perhaps this man who has healed the sick, raised people from the dead, helped lame men walk, could he do something for the servant? So the centurion has heard about Jesus. He has recognised him for who he is and what he is able to do. And so decides to send out some Jewish elders to go to Jesus and ask him to come back to the house to help the servant. And the elders get to Jesus and plead with him to help, stating that the centurion deserves help. He's a friend of the Jewish nation. He's helped build a synagogue. Well, again, this gives us some insight into the centurion's character. Because a Roman soldier was not expected to have excellent relationships with the Jewish people. He certainly wouldn't have been expected to help them build a synagogue. But by using this as the reason for Jesus to go and help, the Jewish elders got it so wrong. They tried to explain to Jesus why he should go. They said in verse 5 and 6, "This man deserves to have you do this. He loves our nation. He's built our synagogue." They were saying to Jesus, "This man is worthy of your attention. He's been kind to the Jewish people." They were saying he deserves help. These elders were focusing on what the centurion had done. In other words, they were saying that the centurion's works were the reason that Jesus should help. Nothing could have been further from the truth. There was nothing the centurion could have done that would have been good enough. The story continues and Jesus sets off with the elders to the centurion's home. But before they get there, they're intercepted by some of the friends of the centurion that he had sent out. And the message from the centurion to Jesus now was that, well, he didn't believe that he was worthy. He said, "I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you in the first place." Just think about this for a second. Here we have a high-ranking official of the Roman army humbling himself before Jesus. Humbling himself to a Jew of the nation that the Romans had conquered. Humbling himself to help the servant. And it's at this point that he truly recognises who Jesus is. And then he says the most remarkable thing to Jesus. He says, "But say the word and my servant will be healed." The faith of the centurion was so strong that he knew that Jesus didn't even need to physically see or touch the servant to heal him. Just a word from Jesus would be enough. And indeed, that was exactly the case, as we hear then in verse 10, that the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. So, hopefully we understand what's happened in this amazing story, but how is it relevant to us today, and what can we learn from the example set by the centurion? The first, I'm going to have to give you five very quick lessons and very quick applications. The first thing, and perhaps this is not the central message from the passage, but I think an interesting one nonetheless, is that we can have a positive relationship with anyone if we have the right heart and the right attitude. Here we have a Roman centurion representing an army that has taken over Israel, that has such good relationships with the Jews, and that not only did he help them build their synagogue, but he also trusted them enough to send the Jewish elders out to ask Jesus to help him. Now, we might not have Roman soldiers controlling us here in Birkdale, but perhaps there are people that we meet that we wouldn't naturally form a relationship with. Is the story of the centurion and his positive relationship with the Jewish people, is that just telling us that there are opportunities for us to build connections with people that we wouldn't ordinarily do? I think that's our first application this morning. Our second one, and this is really where the rubber hits the road, is that it's very easy to fall into the trap that our works can get us closer to Jesus. The Jewish elders thought that by telling Jesus of the good work that the centurion had done and the fact that he was a friend of the Jewish people was something that could persuade Jesus to help. It is so easy for us to think that by doing good works or donating our time or our money, that will somehow increase our standing before God. We've got Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, which corrects our thinking on this. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. Do you know, I think it's one of the biggest misunderstandings for Christians and non-Christians alike, that on the day of judgment we will be presented with a list of all the good things we've done and a list of all the bad, and that as long as the good outweighs the bad, then we'll get to heaven. It's simply not true. And it's a deception that the devil loves to keep alive. Don't fall for it. Our works can't get us closer to Jesus. It's what he did and the grace of God which gets us close to him. That's the second application. The third is that we need to recognise Jesus for who he is, the Son of God. What is amazing in this story is that the centurion recognised who Jesus was simply because he'd just been told of what Jesus had done. There's no record of the centurion having actually met Jesus in the flesh. He's just heard of what he'd been teaching and what he'd been doing. And he'd heard enough to know that, well, firstly, he wasn't worthy in his own right to meet Jesus. Well, in fact, he humbled himself before Jesus and said, please don't come to the house. And secondly, that Jesus could do the impossible and heal the servant. He not only recognised Jesus, but he also recognised the supernatural power that Jesus had. The fourth application and the fourth message to us this morning is that faith can move mountains. The centurion had incredible faith. Faith so strong that Jesus was amazed and said that he hadn't seen faith that strong in the whole of Israel, amongst his own people even. And why was this man's faith so strong? Well, it's because he had total faith that not only would Jesus heal the servant, but that Jesus didn't even need to be in the presence of the servant or to touch him in order to heal him. The faith the centurion had was so strong, even though he'd only heard of Jesus. And what a lesson for us, just like the centurion. We haven't met Jesus as a human being. But is our faith as strong as the centurion's? The fifth application and the fifth message that I want you to hear today is that Jesus answers prayers today. And what was the result of the incredible faith that the centurion had? Well, the result was that the servant was healed, and that does give us tremendous hope. Because we have to remember that Jesus was fully human as well as fully God. That's a concept that's really difficult for us to get our heads around. But he was fully human. He was a human being, but he was also God. He was the Son of God. And in the healing of Jesus, of the servant, Jesus, the human being, wasn't there. He couldn't be in two places at once because he hadn't even made it to the house. But that fact alone wasn't enough to prevent the miracle, because Jesus as God is omnipresent. In other words, Jesus as God is in all places at all times. Jesus was able to perform the miracle at a distance. And that is why we can have tremendous hope today. Jesus the human is no longer on earth, but Jesus as God is just as much here today as he was in Capernaum. That means he's here, standing at the door and knocking and waiting for us to open the door and welcome him in. He's ready to have a relationship with us, and he's ready to listen and respond to our prayers. Now, he doesn't always answer our prayers in the way we expect, or perhaps the way we sometimes want him to. And he doesn't heal everyone we pray for. But we can be confident that he is with us. And if, like the centurion, we put our faith in him, he might not heal us all here on earth, but he will heal us spiritually, and he will prepare a place for us in heaven. And to get that, it means putting our faith in the gospel message that whilst we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of God's standards, and we know from the book of Romans that the wages of sin is death. That's the penalty for our sin, it's death. But the good news is that Jesus died on the cross to take the penalty of death on our behalf. He defeated death by rising from the dead, and we can share in that victory by accepting him as our Lord and Saviour and be given the gift of eternal life. But like the centurion, it all starts by recognising Jesus for who and for what he is. Amen.